The break is over. Welcome back. Welcome to 2021. We made it. We made it through the summer. We made it through 600 Big Bash games. We made it through a fabulous test series. Joel Kane, Sean Ormerod. It's like nothing's ever changed. He's back.
He's back.
Person.
I was trying to work out when the last time we were actually all together.
Yeah.
Pre-lockdown. Must have been, April last year.
Didn't you come back for a very brief period? And remember,
were we in the studio though? I think. Yeah, we might have been actually. Yeah, it might have been mid-year. Gladys let me back in for a few weeks.
And you survived after all the lockdown.
Yeah.
I didn't know, Joel, his missus works at Sportsbet as well.
Absolutely.
So they're with each other 24-7.
Stablemates.
You won't put a ring on a finger.
No. Power couple.
You won't put a ring on a finger.
What price 2021?
No.
Is that a best bet?
It's not a best bet.
No, okay.
How was your summer, Joel Kane?
Great. Outstanding. I'm starting to lose a few kegs here. I tipped 100 kilos, Dan.
Oh, that's a painful moment.
But I'm going
moment,
brutal now. I'm going for a big solid month.
So you're doing...
Black shirt plays a part.
You're doing no sugar and no booze?
Basically no packet foods.
Okay.
No sugar.
So it's not a cut out, it's just a cut.
It's just been a bit feeding. And the wife has been packing the meals, etc. But February 3rd, boys, we're back.
Yeah. Hang on. What's your target weight? We'll get back to everything else.
I need to be under 90.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's achievable. Mm. 6 or 8 weeks, I reckon you can do it.
I'm actually enjoying being on the good food, to be honest.
And you're going head to head with Big Bear's head.
Yeah, he doesn't need it, to be honest.
I saw him with his shirt off. He's got a sneaky little...
Who's that?
Brian Fletcher.
Oh, he's Bear's head?
Yeah, that's his nickname, okay. Bear's head. But he looks good with his shirt off. A bit of colour always helps.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So I'm probably getting away with... I sunbake under a house, as you can see here, but a little bit of colour, you can get away with
it. I need to ask him, actually, because he's made a lot of a certain photo of me in a pair of budgies.
Yes, have you seen that?
It's a disgrace.
Yeah.
He is running a tan... That looks like there's been some sort of baby oil or something involved. Yeah. So I need a.
Speaking of tans, what is that is Trumpian? That is
Trumpian.
There's an orange hue to it.
Trumpian.
It's been a big summer. We'll get.
How was your summer, Dan? No one's asked you. How was your summer?
The last day I worked was November 18, Origin 3.
Yeah.
Right. I was. Very comfortable for about a month.
Yes.
I discovered about 5 weeks is the perfect length of holiday time.
Mm.
Right? Perfect length. And then after that, God bless you if you can get that long. And then after that, it is crucial. It is excruciating.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to get back into it for a while.
Well, you've not once in our history been here on time.
On time.
Punctuality, Pete. You were here 10 minutes early today saying,
no, I was here on time. You blokes were here 20 minutes late. Now, if that's going to be the theme of 2021, I'm not comfortable with that.
Didn't you let us know about it as well?
Can you take a joke? I understand the irony. We've done 200 shows. I've been late for 199 of them.
We were down getting the Divas coffee, weren't we?
Yeah. He refused to come down.
So have you been thinking about goodbye? Is goodbye getting a start in 2021?
I don't know. Probably.
Mm.
No, I didn't spend 10 weeks sort of ruminating.
No.
Ruminating.
Well, can I ask you boys a question? Because I think a lot of people like to know this sort of stuff. Give me a movie you've seen since we've missed the break. Give us a podcast and maybe even a TV series that you'd endorse for our loyal listeners and followers.
Very good question. I've not been to the movies in 6 months. You know, there's been a few times I like going to the movies. And I've looked, there's nothing. It's a Marvel movie, and it's one other sort of adult thing. Adult, like a XXX. I mean, like four adults, and a lot of kids stuff. I find the selection at the cinema has gone right down the drain. Now, I don't know if that's all COVID related.
Do you know one movie that I was really looking forward to, and I was only thinking about it the other day, Top Gun was about to drop.
Oh.
It was about to drop. And then COVID happened.
July.
And they pushed it right back to June.
Have you been to that cinema? There's one in George Street in Sydney, 4DX, where they put in the smells and they'll spray you with water.
Oh, right.
And it's unbelievable.
We like to just go where you can have a few drinky poos, and it's good fun, isn't it? It's really good fun.
Gold class, whatever they call it.
Yeah,
that's the ticket. Recliner, a few years. Yeah.
Here's one not to see, Monster Hunter.
Okay.
No,
that sounds shit ass.
Oh, it's up there with the worst. The Marksman, Liam Neeson, outstanding.
No. Really?
Yes. I enjoyed that.
Now, Liam has been simply about collecting checks for about 10 years.
Yeah, well, this is a check worth collecting.
Aren't they all the same? It sounds like Taken, the marksman.
Yeah, it's very good, very good. Okay. And best Australian movie I've ever seen, The Dry.
Yeah, you're big on this. So, all right. So
that's
on,
an outrageous
on that.
Best I've ever seen.
That's an what,
not you, the best you've ever seen. I'm saying it's the best ever seen.
Crocodile Dundee?
Haven't seen it.
You're about to get that
microphone.
It's
better than Crocodile Dundee.
Mr. Australia, hey?
It's better than Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, fair dinkum. Mad Max?
Better than that.
Well, I like Line, but I wouldn't put that in a... Best Australian best movie you've ever seen.
Right, well, I've got one for you, just on your little... So, movie recommendation that you want?
Yes.
Okay, Two Hands on the Australian theme. Have you seen that?
No, I've not seen that.
Well,
Have you seen any movies?
Yes.
So The Dry is the best movie ever. It's the only Australian movie you've
ever
seen.
I've seen all the Aussie movies. The Castle. It beats The Castle. Very different genre.
Better than The Castle.
Yeah. Two Hands.
I'm going to make an outrageous statement. Mm. You're ready for the first of many this year. Yeah. It's going to be take with one hand, give with the other.
Yeah.
I think The Castle is overrated, but I think The Dish is underrated.
Do you?
I think The Dish is actually a half-decent movie.
We do love a movie with the in it, don't we?
Mm.
The Dish, The Castle.
Yeah. I say those two because it's the same production company, working.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I think we've...
The Dish got a fair bit of applause.
It's like The Castle still exists in society now. It's part of our culture.
Still gets a run three times a year.
Well, yeah, when do you ever see The Dish repeat on a Wednesday night on Channel 9?
That's true.
Anyway.
What about TV series?
Well, the last thing I watched was Yellowstone, which was 10 weeks ago. I tell you what, I've tried, Your Honor.
Nah.
I can't do. I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard.
Outstanding.
I love Bryan Cranston. The story's interesting, and the plot twist where it's the
okay.
The
let
heavy
me ask
guy's
you this: have you seen it, Sean?
No, I haven't.
Okay, without going into it, would you have done what he did?
Yes, to protect the kid.
Yes.
Yes. Of course.
You would have done exactly what he did.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly the
it's
same.
It's an outstanding series, people. Get
and
into
can
that.
You watch it? Netflix?
If you want to create...
Netflix?
Stan, actually, yeah.
Stan, which is a competitor. KO, and hello to everyone here at KO. We are on, and for everyone listening on the podcast as well, the plan is, if I got this right, so 2 weeks from today, we do a season preview, number one. Half the teams, and then 2 weeks or a week after that, season preview number two, and then we're into the cut and thrust of the season. Have I got that right, Joel?
Absolutely. Well, we wouldn't ordinarily be back now, Dan, but a lot of people are saying get back.
Yeah, get back.
So we're back.
That's it. How are you finding radio?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. You know, I was doing the breakfast slot before.
I know.
That's tough. That's really tough.
Yeah.
But the 3-6, fantastic. I tell you who's flying, Brian Fletcher.
Well, he's a gun.
He's a gun. He might win the best new talent.
He can do no wrong.
Has he been castigated yet by management for flying too close to the...
Yes, yeah.
He's not going to. Yeah. But he won't care about that.
This is stock standard, right? Yeah. This is a stock standard call. And there's some of the deviants that text through. There'll be a text that pops up and I'll be like, okay, here's a text from blah, 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 right? There's a bloke called Sharpie from Campbelltown. You can read about 5% of what he writes. Here's a text...
I assume that's Fletch, by the way.
No, I reckon it's former legend. Remember the one on the same sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd say, look, we can't read this text. And then he'll go, yes, we can. And he'll charge into it. And so he does. We'll drop the ball at some stage, Dan. We'll cop a whack at some stage. I've got no doubt.
I've got an idea for a segment for you. Mm. You have to pre-record it. How long are your ad breaks?
Oh,
how long's your news break? Have you got the capability of recording during
short.
A news break? Okay. In your longest ad break,
yep.
Record your last break of the day, which is all those, you read them out, but then have Brooksy or someone beep everything.
Love that.
It'll be funny.
I love that. Yep.
Yeah, please.
I love that.
You're a competing station. Why am I giving ideas to you? For God's sake. It's actually a good idea. But the trick is, you can't stuff up the... You got to trust the editor. Yeah,
that's right.
You got to trust the editor.
I love the idea, though.
Okay. Okay, podcast. You started the subject.
Oh, yeah, podcast, right? So, obviously, our listeners enjoy podcasts because that's what you're listening to now or perhaps watching on KO. There's a podcast which is number one at the moment. Wondery are a very, very good service when it comes to podcasts.
Mm.
It's called Apology Line. It's heavy. Set in about 1980. And what it was, this guy come up with this thing, he's an artist, and he comes up with this idea where people could ring from just your stationary phones the payphones and apologise for something they've done. And he had no idea he'd go to these lengths. And all of a sudden, you've got murderers ringing up, apologising. It's very heavy. Mm. He's got this answering machine at home. But what they've done...
You love a long-form podcast series, don't you? I'm more the...
punchy.
You know, short, and sharp. Short and sharp.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
But
listen to one episode. It's very heavy.
Okay.
But it's number one for a reason, I suppose. Apology line. You been listening to any, Sean?
Yeah, and I'll... I mean, we are a rugby league podcast, so I'll keep it on topic. And not to, I don't want to steer people into any competition, but this one's a cracker. It's called Rugby League Digest.
Oh, yeah.
And the two lads, they go through, it's a really in-depth history of the Super League War. And I love it because it's just before sort of my time, a little bit too young to really remember. I know all the goings on of that. And the work that they put into it, and you can tell it's so much research goes into it, and it's a cracker. So if you're a bit of a league nut and like a bit of history as well on the side, highly recommend it. And if you, like Top Rope Tedeschi, he's been a guest on that. He's a friend of the show, Top Rope, he's been on. But it's a cracker. Couldn't recommend it.
Unfortunately, good steer.
Unfortunately, I'll give that a listen, because I'm fascinated by the Super League War. You were playing, weren't you?
No, I missed it.
I would have thought, now, if we lived in a different era where there was much more money in television, it probably would have been done by now, but we're separated enough from the Super League War to have the complete documentary, the 30 for 30 style.
Yep.
That's the thing, not everything's going to be The Last Dance. Have I done that Bambi yet? Don't call any documentary, it's a Last Dance style.
Tiger.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, I like the Tiger.
Just on the Tiger thing, how do you actually see it?
I have a HBO, Foxtel.
But is it on it like at a certain time? Do you need to tape it?
No, you can download. Have you got the IQ where you can download, or have you got the old like IQ where you have to?
I think we've got the IQ.
Right. Well, you can stream it
on
Foxtel Go.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Foxtel Go. It was on Kayo for a while. It might still be on Kayo.
Just on the Super League. So
yeah, I was going to say, we are now, I think we can have the complete document, the balls and all.
100%.
No one's hiding anything because we're so far removed. People have died. Like, we can really tell the proper story.
You know, people say that players these days get a lot of money. Comparatively speaking, those players at Super League, they are the best paid players of all time because they got all this money. And what would you do with that money? You'd buy property. At that time, property hadn't kicked.
Yeah. Relative to everything back then.
Oh, you're talking about the Tim Brashes.
They bought all this property.
Jared McCrackens.
The list goes on. And Nathan Brown, they all got in. So I missed out by a few years. But apparently the NRL or ARL at the time went to all the ARL clubs and said, look, here's $100,000 to lock up your best five juniors.
Yeah.
And the idea was to give them $20,000 each. Anyway, myself, Lee Murphy, Warren Carney, and one other, we got $5,000 each, right? And they went $80,000 to the late Lance Thompson. Bang. They went straight to Lance because he was just such a superstar.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he's turned up to train a little Hyundai XL, brand new green, and we got our $5,000. We're happy as
that. Exactly.
Yeah.
There we go. So someone produced you may like that. That is like... Last Dance style, that's a six-part series. There are so many details. Because remember, 95 is when it all happened. But 94 is when News Limited went to the ARL and said, we want to do this. All we want are the television rights. Here's our idea. And it was during the Kangaroo Tour.
Mm.
And Ken Atherton had to fly. I think it was Ken Atherton had to fly. So it really started then. Then you had the subterfuge. Oh, it'd be an astonishing story. Anyway, speaking of television, did you watch much cricket over the summer? I was I think I speak for a lot of people. I was captivated with the tests.
Yep.
I have barely watched a ball of Big Bash.
All right, well, I'll re-raise you. Have not watched one ball being bowled in anger over the Big Bash, only the Test series over the summer. I just can't. It's too much for me.
Okay, can I ask you a sec? Have you seen the Test?
No, I haven't.
The Amazon series. No. Yeah.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. When I was watching it at the time, I'm not a Langer man. There you go. Are you?
What was that?
I'm not a Justin Langer man.
Let's bring up for the first time this year the perfect segue to allow Joel to open the batting. Yes, I had the producer in my ear while you were telling us. I don't think I wasn't listening, but as soon as you said it, I just knew where we had to go.
Okay, so you know what, Dan? Sean, there's people in sport, right? We're not all the same way, right? And some need a cuddle, some need to be whacked over the head, but you need to be able to accommodate both. Yeah. I watched the test, the Amazon. I don't think Justin Langer would make it as a rugby league coach. And if you're not going to make it as a rugby league coach, a coach is a coach, is a leader is a leader. We've seen a very high turnover in batsmen in recent years, in his tenure, in my opinion, right, at the top of the order. And sometimes coaches, it can be at their detriment when they were very good in those positions because they get extra hard on those players that play in those positions. There was a scene where Payne was trying to give honest feedback, right? And he was saying that the players were feeling uncomfortable and they're being ridden very hard. And he's smiling like a Cheshire cat. And he was asking for the honest feedback, but I don't believe he was really prepared to receive it, right? And he was smiling about it. And you knew that he was just like, no, you've got to harden up, which is fair enough. Some players can respond to that. But the evidence for me, this very high turnover at the top of the order, we're a great country with a lot of depth in cricket. I think there's something in that. And I think that Finch got out. He got out. It was a bad review in the one of the test matches, right? Yeah. And he knows he's had a bad review, right? And you know that as a professional sports person. You self-critique. That's what got you in the first place. And he comes down into the sheds and has a go at him. And I'm like, well, how does that achieve anything? How does that add to your confidence? And so for me...
I'm going to ask you a pointed question.
He wouldn't have been a good coach for me personally.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a pointed question. That series, The Test, which we spoke about on one of the pods last year, I thought it was very carefully curated by Cricket Australia. It was the team presented in its best light. Did you think Justin Langer was coaching for the cameras?
Possibly.
I got the sense he knew he was on camera and he was putting on a show.
Yes.
And he seems to be a rah-rah coach, and that can only take you so far.
That's right. The other thing is I'd like to ask Justin is, did you, as a coach, or as a batsman, have the same treatment from your coach at the time? I know you're having success, so that makes it a lot easier.
Who were his coaches? Who would have they been back in the day?
Buchanan. He would have missed Simpson. Oh, no, 93 would have been Simpson, so that would have been his first one. John Buchanan, and that might have seen... That would have seen... Yeah, I think Buchanan saw him through to about 06, and that was the end of Langer.
Yeah.
So, very different styles. Mm. Jeff Marsh was coach for a brief period, so he had a range of them.
So my measurement of him would be this. In the next... I think he's got another 2 years to go or something, would be less turnover at the top end, players succeeding as batsmen under his watch. Mm. I think the feedback that was given 2 years ago still applies that... There's too much pressure on these. Just let them bat.
See, the coach to me is irrelevant. All right, not irrelevant. Is less relevant than the captain. I'm going to ask you, we've got to take a break, but I'm going to ask you before we go to the break, what has Tim Payne done that you remember? In 3 years, what's the standout thing that he has achieved? Think about that. Mm. We'll be back in 15 seconds.
Rather be at the tennis? Well, with Sportsbet for the Aussie Open, if your player leads by 4 games in any set, we'll pay you out straight away. That's right, any set, 4 games up, you win with Sportsbet.
Come on! Okay, time's up. Gentlemen, what has Tim Payne achieved? What if he never captains another test match, what's the thing you remember him for? What's the grand moment?
Well, the same thing you're going to say. It'll be the chirp.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not an achievement. All he's done in my book is just annoy people, including myself. Like, I couldn't find the mute button quick enough when we're in the field. It's fucking
annoying. I almost found myself not cheering for India, but I felt happy for them when they won at the Gabba. I thought, this is a team that deserves it.
I was the same, I'd be honest. It's very un-Australian.
Yeah. But I was hoping Australia, you know, I was hoping Pat Cummins tore through them in the last hour. Mm. But when they got them, it was like, you know what, fair play to you. You were up against it.
Can I tell you a true
story? Ravi Ashwin had every right to keep going at Payne. You know what? To the victor go the spoils.
Can I tell you something, which I'm not proud to admit? I looked on the Sportsbet app. India were paying $6.
Oh, I've bet on India. There's no shame in that.
So I rang the number for live betting with Sportsbet.
TH.
And then I hung up. I thought, I can't verbally say that I'm backing. If it wasn't live betting and I didn't have to call, I would have taken the $6.
There's no patriotism.
No.
But for the same reason, Dan, it was a team we deserved to get a whack, didn't
we? You've worked for Sportsbet for how many years? I'm disappointed in you.
I didn't follow through.
I'm just very disappointed. You would put The wallet, when it comes to betting, Sean, am I right? The wallet conquers all.
Conquers all.
But I just felt it was a bad look. Somebody answering the phone, here's this Aussie on the other end saying, can I take the $6 about
India? Did you think they were going to leak the story, that they were going to recognise it?
No.
That Joel came
from, they were going to recognise an Australian voice. That's what they're going to recognise.
God, you worry about some silly things. Yes. So the Tim Payne era, you know, he's been captain for nearly 3 years. The only things I remember him for, the first test when, remember they did those handshakes with South Africa?
Oh, yeah.
Right, which is all PR palaver. Yeah. Stuffing up the test match at Headingley with the reviews. And then the next test, the one thing I remember he did well, he brought Marnus Labuschagne on at the end of a test match. He made the breakthrough, they ended up winning. Mm. That is the one tactical achievement I remember from Tim Payne.
When do the keys get handed back? When's that?
Well, now that South Africa, I think we're in for a really interesting couple of months because South Africa obviously has been cancelled. So the next test for Australia, I don't think, is until our summer. I think there might be a series in between, but not for a long time. Payne's obviously not getting any younger. He's 35. We have a couple of months of Sheffield Shield where now it looks like all the test players are going to be there. Mm. Now, if Alex
blank canvas.
So hang on.
If Alex Carey plays as well as he did last year, I think he had 2 centuries in 4 games last year. I think it's just about time.
So is Smith, is he blacklisted from the captaincy?
He's allowed to be captain.
He doesn't want it.
I don't think we need him to.
I think he wants it, but I, you know, again, they're worried about the look.
I think we do.
Do we need him?
Yeah.
The other thing I'll ask is this. What about the selectors? Like, did anyone, and I went public about this, did anyone ever believe that Burns was going to get it done? Look, it was doing the wrong thing by him, putting him in.
You were very anti-Burns
But he was never,
there,
ever going to get it done. The bloke was so
out
of form.
You felt
for
him when he was walking out.
Hang on, weren't they stuck? Yes, but weren't they stuck because Pekowski missed the first test?
Yeah, but there was Harris. But even Finch.
Oh, Harris, he's even worse.
Yeah, but he was not ever going to get it done, Dan. And that proved to be correct.
Well, they weren't exactly in a position of strength. They had to put someone in there. Warner was injured.
We've primed him, right? We've primed. Can you get the... Can you have a crack?
Okay.
This could go for hours.
Well, this is my list. I've got 15 things I want to talk about there. Tim Payne, well, I said we've talked about that karma. What about Channel 7 complaining about the rights? Remember, all summer, and then they've had the highest ratings they've ever had, so I don't know what they do there. Okay, these are things that really bother me. Oh, what about the English blokes having a go at Steve Smith? Remember when he did a stupid thing, I think it was at the SCG, where he walked up to Rishabh Pant's guard and scratched it out. He was being a dick. He was being a pest. But then for the likes of Michael Vaughan and Darren Goff and Derek Pringle to come out, when will he ever learn he's a cheat? They forget that their captain, Michael Atherton, in 1994 was caught on camera rubbing sand into the ball. So I don't understand. The English don't like Steve Smith, fair enough. That's your prerogative. But I don't understand where you get the moral high ground. Australia Day BBL. Now, this is interesting. So Cricket Australia said, we're not going to call it. Now, okay, fine. I do find it interesting that you use Australia Day to play 3 matches, that you're going to use Australia Day to milk as much money as you can out of this sport and out of this day, but you're not going to call it Australia Day. I find a hypocrisy in that. Now, if they don't want to call it Australia Day, fine. Okay? Look at the concern on your face. Look at the concern on your face.
No, but you know what? I just want us to... I'm happy to change a lot, personally. I don't want to get bogged down in this conversation.
No, it's not.
Change the flag, change the date, change everything, and let's just get on the one page.
That's fine, but I'm talking about the granular detail of Cricket Australia saying, oh, we're going to make a stand here. Mm. But if you want to fork out money and come to the games, we've got 3 of them on for you on Australia Day. I'm sick of people, and you might. I don't think you're guilty of this, but if you were, I'm sorry. Anytime there's a good test match on, there's nothing like test cricket. Nothing will... We know! Don't every time there's a good test match, you've got to put nothing like test cricket. As if you're better than the BBL people and the one-day cricket people. I found this offensive. Like the other night on the Big Bash, there was... Mitch Marsh was dudded. Right? And then they were speaking to Usman Khawaja, who was playing in the net the following night. and they said to him, what did you think of the Mitch Marsh decision? And he said, I'm not allowed to talk about it. I mean, Cricket Australia are the masters of turning interesting people into basically garden gnomes and they can't say anything. But have we got to a point where a cricketer can't even comment on an incident in another game that doesn't even involve him? Not every AFLW photo has to be iconic. There's a lovely picture the other day of Nathan Burke, a great guy. I've worked with him a couple of times with his daughter. And it's a beautiful picture. But the iconic photo. Like, not everything AFLW does is iconic.
Still going.
I got more. Rugby Australia offering the British Lions and South Africa a tour. Fabulous. Brilliant idea. I think there's a few sports that could do this. I think there should be a promoter out there that should offer the WWE and say, listen, come out here for a month. We'll sell out. Instead of having to go into that Thunderdome, we'll sell out stadiums. But my point for Rugby Australia was, they said, oh, we're only going to do it at cost. I mean, why? You're broke. Why would you offer to house one of the most profitable series there is, a British Lions tour? Yes. You got all the South African expats on the East Coast and in Perth. I mean, this thing, you'd fill out Optus Stadium, you'd fill out Stadium Australia, you'd fill out Melbourne, you could fill out Suncorp, right? This thing would make a fortune. And Rugby Australia, the benevolent society, says, oh, we'll only do it for cost. Are you kidding? That's a 10% cut minimum. We'll take 10% of ticket. We'll organise where you're going to be quarantined and all those things. You'll pay for it. We'll organise. We'll take some of the. We'll do some of the heavy. But I mean, what sort of idiots are you? You've got no money. You're depending on a streaming service now to prop up your game, and you're going to offer to host one of the most lucrative tours in the world for free.
Is Israel on this list somewhere?
No, that's it for me. I'm done. I've got a couple of other topics to talk about, but not in shooting Bambi. Israel Folau. God, there are days I'm glad I'm not doing daily opinion radio or TV because
he's not the Bambi anymore. The Dragons are the Bambi in this situation. We all know Izzy's a dickhead, but that was however like 2 years ago. So forget that. What are the Dragons doing? Read the room.
Read the room.
Been a bad, bad week.
Well, won't this be decided by the same people that decided Israel's fate with rugby, and that's the sponsors? It was Qantas that axed Israel. It wasn't Rugby Australia. It was Qantas. Yeah. They basically said, are you going to deal with this, or are we going to have to pull the pin? Of course, Rugby Australia, we were in no position to let a major sponsor go.
Would there be chats from the NRL going to the Dragons saying, guys, you really want to go through this?
I'd be fascinated how the NRL plays this privately. I think they have already gone to their major sponsor, Telstra, and other sponsors like Ampol, State of Origin sponsor. I would think they've gone to their broadcasters, Nine and Fox, and said, listen, what do you think? I think broadcasters would actually be pro, because I think Israel does, it'd be an uptick, but that's not the be-all and end-all. The Dragons would have, well, the fact that this started in January a few weeks ago would to me suggest that the Dragons have flagged this with sponsors and the sponsors are okay with it. So I think we're a fair way down the track with this.
Can I have a throw at the stumps about Latrell? You notice Latrell's trying to sign a very short-term contract, one or two years. Can I have a throw at the stumps? This is no rumour, no innuendo. This is a guess.
Let me guess.
Okay.
No, I can't.
Who was the Broncos' first ever coach?
Oh, he's waiting for the new Brisbane team? The new Brisbane team. Latrell, the face of the new Brisbane team.
Just saying it. What do you think?
But there was
hey, Trell, just this is you and me in a couple of years.
I don't know.
Viable?
Anything's viable in
Joel, I'll give you 40 to 1.
40 to 1?
Maximum bet $20. No. Give that's going to cost me 800.
Give me the max. Give me the max.
The problem is they need to. But see, I assume this is why I think it's no chance, is that the new Brisbane team will want as much Queensland flavour, and Latrell speaks New South Wales. You know what I mean? I would think Wayne Bennett, and it's going to be
You interview 100 Queenslanders up there and say, do you want
Latrell? I understand.
99 will say yes.
When's
please.
The new team slated to come in?
2023.
Yeah. So he's got to sign. When's his contract up?
Yeah, this year. This year it's done. So he would then sign a two-year deal somewhere.
Yep.
Why else would you not be wanting to lock into a big contract?
Because his managers keep telling him he's underpaid.
Well, then put in a ratchet clause. That's what I'm saying. Why?
I like South this year.
So do I.
Now, Latrell, remember how good they were before Latrell got hurt? Yeah. Now, imagine if he led them to a comp, right? The manager might be a genius. Let's take a break. We're going to talk about, after this, I don't want to overblow things. It's the first show of the year. The worst rule in the history of the game. That's next.
Rather be at the tennis? Well, with Sportsbet for the Aussie Open, if your player leads by 4 games in any set, we'll pay you out straight away. That's right. Any set, 4 games up, you win with Sportsbet.
Come on!
All right. Who is the idiot that decided that 2-point field goals were a good idea? Now, this sounds exactly like the sort of thing Joel Cain would suggest.
No way.
As to spice up a game. Yeah. Mate, I saw you, I heard you with Ricky Stewart the other day, ramming ideas down his throat. The poor bastard.
Ramming idea.
I'm trying to help the game out. This is what you do. You say, here's my idea, what do you think?
Yeah.
What are they supposed to say? No, Joel, you're an idiot.
Well, what do you think about the idea? You share it with our loyal listeners.
What was it now? I just remember Ricky being very awkward, going, I want to tell this bloke off, but I like him. Okay. He's a good fella.
Righto. Can I just tell you this, right? So this time last year, as you're doing now with the 2-point field goal, I came out on this podcast and I said the 20-40 is the most ridiculous rule I've ever heard of, right?
Yeah, I'll agree
it won't
that.
Happen. And guess what? How many times did it happen, Dan?
It happened officially no times. Cam Smith got one, but it wasn't given. It was very close.
So what was the answer?
But the answer was none, but it had no effect on the game, whereas you can't just change the scoring system.
You put a scoring system...
No.
Proposal.
No, I didn't.
No, no, okay. No. That's no, what. No, no, that's no. The new rule.
What I said to Ricky was this.
I said to Ricky, I said, can you do everyone a favour? We need to see one of these 20-40s, right? And the only way I believe it can happen, because when you're ordinarily inside your 20, you've got no momentum and you can't do it. You just can't do it, right? Is to catch it off the kickoff where the halfback catches it, right?
Yep.
Waltz up to the 20. The wingers are up in the line. Choose where the fullback is and smash it for a 20-40.
Can you do it then?
Why can't you?
Yeah, as long as it's beyond a 20.
That's the only time in my head it can get done. Mm. Do you agree with that?
I don't mind that.
It's too risky.
What's risky about it? The ball lands at the other end of the field, you chase down and
the risk
fullback's
is
there
you don't,
by himself.
You don't quite connect with it. The risk is
and
you kick it out on the full. They get it back on halfway. Now all of a sudden they're mastered up, they're on the attack. There is a risk. I understand you're
thinking. But is there more chance of that happening that way than how it's intended to happen?
Teams don't think like that. Teams, I mean, it's insane that teams don't have the short kickoff every single kickoff.
I agree with that
at least. Why don't they go the short dropout every single time?
Don't get him started.
Yeah, don't get him started.
You know what the worst rule is in the comp? And it's not one of those Mickey Mouse ones. 7-tackle set after...
dropping it in goal.
A scoring attempt, knock on in your own in goal. Yeah. Is the worst. You should not be punished for trying to score a try. Yeah. That's the worst one. And that can be changed overnight. No one would know.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's not worthy of a 7-tackle set.
Well, they brought it in to stop teams...
deliberately kicking it dead.
Yep. That's right. Which is great. Understand that.
But then how do you, in a rules book, differentiate between deliberately kicking it dead and... at going for a try.
No. He's talking about, not talking about any kicks. He's talking about if you knock the ball on.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Mm.
All right, so we now get to what I think is insanity, and that is we're going to have I think it might get used once or twice because a team will be down by 2 with a minute to go. So do you like the idea of a team setting for a 45-meter, anything outside of 40, for a 2-point field goal? We're bastardising the game. Just have golden try then. You know what I mean? Like, just if we're going to just muck around with the point system, you know, the purest things about our game are the ball, the shape of the field and the width and length of the field and the scoring system. You certainly don't touch them unilaterally.
Mm.
And I'm surprised that Volandis hasn't copped it. He continues to get his rails run in the media. Now, he's done some magnificent things. The fact that we're on the field first last year, the fact we're on the field at all, he deserves nearly all the credit. But, geez, I'll tell you what, a Rails run here, because that is one of the dumbest rules I've ever, ever seen instituted into the game. And if it happened under Peter Beattie's watch, or from a CEO perspective, Greenberg or Gallup or anyone, they would have been slaughtered.
The thing with the rule that I don't like about it is no one was even asking for it. It wasn't
exactly. Out there. I'd never heard of it before.
That's not even...
What's the over-unders? How many have we seen?
Those idiot callers on 2SM that come up with stupid ideas, not even they came up with an idea.
No.
Sorry. Those passionate... I shouldn't say idiot, passionate callers.
I love the kick to touch, no scrum.
Yep.
Yes. And that's what I mean. There are actually some good rules. But as soon as I saw that the two-point field goal, I just lost all interest. I'm trying to bring up the new rules here because there was about five of them weren't there. There were about five... either tweaks or new rules brought in.
There's an addition to the six again, which is for 10-metre infringements.
Like that too.
Yeah, that's gonna have a really big impact because you'll see a lot of those blown. The penalties are very harsh penalty.
Yeah.
Yep.
For only getting back nine, they're going to be much quicker to blow that this year. And we saw what it did to the game
last year.
So.
Okay, injured players will be interchanged if a trainer asks for play to be stopped.
Yep.
So you can't have have fakery.
Yep. Like that.
Everyone loves that rule.
Yep.
The bunker will now review replays after an on-field referee awards a try, but a conversion attempt will not be allowed until it gets the green light.
So they move ahead.
The referee thinks it's a try, is not certain. He'll just blow the whistle.
We're still not going to see a ref. If he's unsure, though, he's always going to go to the bunker first. I don't think that'll have
any impact.
I think,
Sean, if he thinks, well, we'll find out in the trials, I guess. When he goes that, he's making, I think it's a try. Mm. Oh, no, he's not at the moment, but that's the old rule.
Does he have to still do that, or does he just make a call and then they have the time to review it?
Now, that's supposedly.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but I suppose if he thinks it's no try, but he's not certain, then he's got to go upstairs.
Which they will always fall back on, I think. They're too scared to make a call because he looks silly, which shouldn't be the case.
Penalties for teams if they leave a scrum before a referee calls break. So we're going to hear a new word, break. Okay, fine. That's ticky-tack, but fine. Mm-hmm. A handover will be ordered when a player does not make a genuine attempt to play the ball correctly with their foot. Well, that is the latest attempt to fix the play the ball, and it never works, but we'll see.
But what's good about that is that it's not a penalty.
Yeah.
You're not marching them also down. You're not also losing the ball and losing 30 metres. They simply hand the ball over.
I still don't think it'll be very rarely instituted.
No, I think you'll see a big change. In the short term, there'll be...
By the end of the year, you won't see any, will you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because how hard is it to touch the ball?
Yeah, good move.
I bet play the balls don't improve. I hope they do. And the other one, which I wanted to touch on, when a captain's challenge is inconclusive, the team isn't docked.
Good.
And they're good. Now, again, that's going to be a challenge for the video ref to say, well, I'm giving it, I'm disagreeing with them, but I can't be sure. But anyway, that seems a much fairer, particularly when we're on a one challenge system, that seems fair. Some quick bullet points in terms of rugby league headlines. We've covered some of them. RTS to rugby. It didn't shock me. Just because every kid in New Zealand grows up wanting to be an All Black. And he's had a longer career than we think in the NRL. Sean, he's been around since, I think, 2012,
was it? Yeah.
He won a comp in 2013 as a winger.
Yep.
So he's been around a while. You know, it's a decade career. It's a good run.
Any other club could probably handle it and move on and bounce back or whatever the word is. But I worry that it's the Warriors. Like, he's everything in that team. Without Roger, they're on their ass.
He's only 27 still, yeah.
Sneaky young.
I had a debate with someone yesterday. Who's the better player? Who would you rather have for a year, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck or AJ Brimson?
Oh, at this point,
yeah.
Tuivasa-Sheck. Yeah. At this point.
Yeah.
But if you're saying you've got them for the rest of their careers, I'd take Brimson.
Point, yeah. I'd go Brimson.
Oh, I love Brimson.
Hey, can you imagine just on the Israel story, the only thing that would make this story better... Imagine if he was asking to go to the Roosters. Imagine the world would form Armageddon, wouldn't it?
And you know something? And imagine if the NRL rubber stamped. See, the Boyd Cordner $350,000 concussion. Mm. I don't think this is a rort, but I think it's the Roosters milking the system to their advantage because Boyd Cordner's concussion, yes, it finally manifested with the Origin.
Unique situation, isn't it?
But this has been going on for years. It's happened at the Roosters. Mm. So all of a sudden, what? Because the last incident was in an Origin and he's going to miss the first 12 weeks. Now they get $350,000 in the cap.
Sean,
I'm the same. I think if you can't play for 12 weeks, then you can't play.
No.
He's done.
I don't see how, particularly with this injury. Now, obviously, I'm no brain surgeon. Yeah. But it's not like it doesn't improve. I think once there's damage done, you can't muck around with that. So I don't think 12 weeks is going to be.
You're saying 12 weeks, 16 weeks.
12 weeks or 12 years. What's the difference?
Mm.
They have shown extreme care, the Roosters. You've got to give them that.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
And that's why players, apart from the riches, they love the Roosters because it's professional. They're looked at. The way they handled Luke Keary. Many other clubs, Luke Keary would have been thrown back in because they needed to get a win. They would have been more desperate. But they let him go for, 6-8 weeks. South had a big off-season. Benji, but also Mansour to South. Now, see, Benji got all the headlines. I think Josh Mansour could be the different. Now, yes, Sean, he's going to make two or three boo-boos, but he's going to bring it out and make 200 metres a game. Like, that's a real difference maker for South.
They lose Corey Allen.
But they'd already lost him.
Yeah.
They'd already lost him to Canterbury.
Mm.
So, okay.
Yeah, they're definitely a massive chance.
They're pretty hard to market though. I like them as well, but they're
$6. Oh, you can't have them at $6.
They're still like Latrell's still a question mark for me.
Mm.
I think they'll be thereabouts, and we were speaking off air about the outright. I think it's out of those four. I think there's a big cliff after the top four in the betting.
Mm.
I think it's only one of those, but then from there. It's a complete raffle who makes up the eight.
Would you have Newcastle in your eight? Oh, no. I have fears.
No way.
Because...
No Ponga for
the
first month.
And
well.
Also, that Pearce-Fitzgibbon situation is just a bit weird.
Well, similar situation coming out of the Cowboys last year, wasn't there?
Mm.
There was reports coming out of the Cowboys with a similar sort of story.
But that never sort of surfaced.
No, it didn't.
Whereas this one did. And then did you see the stage photo last week at the team? The
staged.
Fitzgibbon
and
Pearce.
Oh, laughing. They could have put puppy dogs in the photo and it could have made a calendar. Brisbane. Katoni Staggs in trouble using a homophobic. Now, that's going to be interesting. He used a homophobic term, apparently, at a pub. Some bloke wanted a photo with him and he.
Mm.
Imagine if they let Israel Folau back, but he cops some sort of fine. That's the predicament they're in. But also they had a good situation where three Broncos, apparently, some of the names ironic in that trio, saved a woman from a domestic violence situation. That was so that's annoying. I immediately thought, I'm a bit suspicious about this
Lodge
story.
Lodge to Ricky, wasn't it?
Certainly Lodge and Tia.
Certainly Lodge, yeah.
And this is my dark humour. I saw one of the tweet replies. This is a sick reply. You ready? The reply was, well, there are actually four in there, but Anthony Milford missed the tackle. I thought it was very clever. Still no Cam Smith news. It is February, 3?
Yeah.
What are we? Less than 40 days away now.
There's a chance he'll never talk. Well, see, he'll never talk again on the subject. He'll just disappear into the night.
There's no way that the Storm don't know what he's doing. Or Bellamy knows what he's doing. Sure.
They can't announce their captain until he says what he's doing.
I thought they'd already moved on. I thought they'd already said we're planned for life without him. Because
his locker room is still full.
And then the Gold Coast had... I read Andrew Webster the other day, $600,000 in the kitty, ready to go. They've saved that space in it. So, and with the assertion being, well, if he was going to play with anyone, it was the Gold Coast, which is what we were saying at the end of last year. Still no news.
Don't you have to be training this far out from a season? Is he there? Is he training?
I'm sure he's not sitting on the couch getting fat.
I don't get the upside in not in playing this sort of... Smoke and mirrors.
Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he genuinely is not sure.
No, I'm not copping that either anymore. Like, end of last
year,
maybe.
If he used to go to the Gold Coast, what's the upside of having delayed it all?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, what's your guess?
Is he trying for separation?
He's playing at the Gold Coast?
No, playing for the Storm.
Is he trying?
Oh, really?
Yeah. The PR tour for the book was bad because a lot of lies, apparently. So is he trying for separation from that? That was in, what, November, December? So is he trying to get away from that, as far away before he puts himself back in the media spotlight?
What have you got him? Either Titans or nothing?
I've got him wearing the number 9 in round 1 for the Titans.
Oh, geez, I'd love that to be the case. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, that I'd have that as slight favourites. I don't think he'll play for Melbourne. I think that's done. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
You'd rather be at the tennis? Well, with Sportsbet for the Aussie Open, if your player leads by 4 games in any set, we'll pay you out straight away. That's right, any set, 4 games up, you win with Sportsbet.
Come on! Is there anything else you want to cover before we say farewell?
No, just sorry, we should just give a tip in the Super Bowl, boys.
Let's do it.
Are you going to watch?
Yeah.
You've been asking me for tips. And
yeah.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, I've fell in love with the Super... I don't watch so many games, but I listen to all the radio. And
Yeah.
Are you on the Chiefs long term?
If I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll put American radio on and listen to...
Are you on the Chiefs? Are you on the Chiefs last
year? Yeah, I'm on the Chiefs and the Buccaneers.
Oof.
Yeah.
I'm in a weird spot. My bets were for the championship games, the NFC, AFC. So I actually come in with a clean slate.
But
so
you,
I
got it. You've won.
I won. No, very happy. I crushed. I backed the Bills, but... Gee, it's nice watching a game where you win either way.
Not as much fun, though, is it?
No. I pulled an all-nighter, and it was 10 a.m., and I thought, geez, I wouldn't mind having a little snooze now. Mm. And because I'd crushed, I did. So I missed the second half of that game, and from all reports, didn't miss all that much. But, okay, now this is my favourite punting game of the year, the Super Bowl, because you get all the stupid markets. The length of the anthem. Is one of the most popular? Isn't it one of the most popular bets, Sean?
Nothing stupid about this. There's spies at rehearsals and all
sorts
of stuff.
This is what I worked out years ago. You would watch in the last 24 hours, and all of a sudden the under would come into $1.56. And you think, what's going on?
Well, for a flip of the coin chance.
Yeah. Well, the under over under is a minute 59 this year, and. I'm not sure how rehearsals are going to go this year. I assume there will be people in the stadium when the lady who is performing. Now, I wasn't aware of this lady's work. Beautiful singer, long.
There was a good sting a few years ago where the last note of the anthem.
Gaga.
Was it Gaga?
Gaga.
Just
she
held,
did. She
just
brave.
Held
she hit brave, it. But now she did it twice. She did it twice. So she goes, brave, brave, and then the
there's
bookies,
someone in the crowd going,
yeah, the bookies couldn't just. So I always like the over because it's always the time for the American.
Oh, great bet to cheer.
Great bet to cheer, yeah. But also it's for an unknown, and this lady is in the mainstream, a relative unknown, much like the Weeknd with that, even though big star. But there's going to be a lot of people going, who's this person? So I always think they are. But under has come in 3 of the last 4. And the dodgy one was Gaga, who only went over because she did Home of the Brave twice. So just be a bit careful with that
bet. I wonder how much
she had
on the over herself, Lady Gaga. Couple million down in Vegas.
I could be unders too. And this happens, you know. Bit
nervous.
Of pressure, nervous,
you
go
rush.
Faster.
You rush. Well, you we rush. Know in our business, when people are nervous, they rush.
Yeah.
They rush. You always tell them, slow down. Slow down. Okay, the colour of the Gatorade. I think this is, don't bet on this. People are sick. But if you must. Last year when Kansas City won, they threw orange on Andy Reid. The primary colour of Gatorade is orange. Mm-hmm. You would think red would be, I would have thought it would be red because Kansas is red. Tampa has red in their jersey. But now, orange is the favourite at $2.62.
I think I found a little angle in that market. Now, clear / water is $5. And I think there's a chance of a little goodwill gesture either way. So you can have a little each way bet here. Because if there's a lot of ice in the bucket and it actually runs out, unless it's a really dark red or whatever, it can look a bit watery.
Oh.
There'll be a little argument there just to... I'll have to pay both.
Well, here's the problem too. That's got to be captured on camera. Mm. And quite often it just happens out of nowhere. There's a play going on because... You know, the game's out of reach, so there's a play happening on the field and all of a sudden the coach. So good luck with that. And the first song of halftime. Now, my God, didn't I get some reaction on social media yesterday? I'm abstaining from this bet because I don't know The Weeknd well enough. I think his best song or biggest song which is fact, it's not my opinion, is Blinding Lights.
Most played on Spotify in 2020.
Right. So my thinking would be this. It's the favourite at $3. Get to the game in a minute. Don't worry about that. My thinking would be, again, he is a relative unknown to the sort of old white America.
Mm.
Okay. So let's introduce him with a song that everyone knows. That would be my thinking, but it probably will be a showstopper, but it's $3. But
most played on Spotify. You've been doing
in 2020.
You've been doing Blinding
Lights. On this. Is that you're talking about? Blinding Lights. Yeah. Most played in 2020.
And as for the game itself, what's your tip on the game?
Paddy Mahomes, 375, anytime scorer.
Paddy.
Throw him into the sixes. They're morals.
Now, I'm told his mum does listen to the Get Him Onside podcast. She'll be on to you because his name is Patrick.
Okay.
And anyone that calls him Pat
or
Paddy will be castigated by Mama Mahomes.
Yeah, his call name, him Patrick or Paddy, 375 jumps Patrick. In your account.
Mama Mahomes.
What's got you, Shauno?
I've got both teams to score two touchdowns and two field goals, two or more of both those.
Wow.
I think it could be a high-scoring Super Bowl. 56.5, I think, is the total.
Yeah.
Which is pretty punchy for a... For a Super Bowl.
Tampa should be... Well, it should be good weather. Now Florida known for sort of... when it rains, it really rains. But I think the weather is predicted to be fine.
Now, I was surprised. This is the first team that's playing at a Super Bowl on home turf. Is that
ever.
Right?
Isn't that amazing?
Does that do anything? What's the crowd situation?
22,000.
That stat's been mentioned more times than the Sharks haven't beat the top eight side yet.
And I don't think...
Does it have any impact?
I don't think it will.
No.
I don't think it will. Honestly, it's good. I only think weather in American football, when there's full crowds, yes, but when the weather is a real factor, like Lambeau Field, now it turned out didn't matter a couple of weeks ago, or Minnesota played in the outdoors for a couple of... That's a factor, right? Or the New York cold, or the Boston cold, or Miami when it's really hot and steamy, but... Generally, it
Chiefs are morals, aren't they, Dan?
No, they're not morals.
Haven't they?
Mate, don't you dare put words in my mouth.
Haven't they just lost one game in like 18 months or something?
Yeah, they could be one of the greatest teams of all time, but their offensive.
Tommy threw three intercepts last game. They got away with it.
Yeah, so that's one of my bets. Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, to get an interception, $5.20. Because Tom could be brilliant, but he will throw a pick or two if history is a guide. And
how much is Brady keeping that? Anchoring that price down though, because there'll be a lot of mug money, I would say,
on
Tampa purely for that factor. And I know the parent company of Sportsbet, who dabble in the States, they're staring Tampa for some huge payouts. And I think it's particularly same game multis, because it's always Brady, stuff that's all the hype around him. Surely they have to be a factor.
If this kid's as good as what they think he's going to be, like. They're morals, aren't they? Surely.
I don't know about morals.
But Tom's 43.
I think it's going to be a great game, high scoring, like you said, 38-35, 30-27, that sort of thing. $1.56, the Chiefs, $2.43, the Bucks. The line is now bang on 3. That was 3.5 for a while. Fascinating. Mm. Wouldn't shock me if it went to overtime.
Wow.
Tampa Bay's defense is really good, and Kansas City's offensive line is a bit iffy at the moment with injuries. That's why I've got three blokes for MVP. They're 40-1 and over. Jason Pierre-Paul
are the quarterbacks now a lot bigger price in the MVP than they used to be? I always used to. I remember when I first sort of started punting, it was always
just bigger.
It was a head-to-head price plus a little roll.
Yeah,
but now you're getting a much bigger. Like Mahomes is $1.91. I think $1.95 or something.
It's really
off $1.56. I remember it used to be.
I think they're moral. I think generally they're moral. If their team wins, particularly Mahomes and Brady, because they're so prevalent with their team success, I always look for someone else just to break it up a bit. And I think if Tampa Bay wins and it's not Brady, it's the guy who stops Mahomes is going to stand out. If it's a wide receiver. Right, that has a blinder, they got the passes from Brady. If it's a tight end, if it's Gronk or Cameron Brate, they got the pass from Brady. What if it's the guy like Jason Pierre-Paul or Shaq Barrett or Devin White? They're my three. If they... I've got to do this, by the way. My best bet is Tom Brady, and that is this. that his first pass will be complete because Brady is the master. Just about every game, it's a short pass, safe to perhaps a running back who sweep around and make a small gain. It's basically just to get them up and running. He very rarely, if ever, goes long with his first pass. I don't like betting odds on, but that to me seems like the safest bet.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mahomes to score. $3.75. Pretty sure he scored last year. Sixers to win the BBL. So I think Sixers go back-to-back. Chiefs go back-to-back. Just looking at the Super Bowl MVP, Dan, Leonard Fournette, $26. I reckon he might be a real chance.
For MVP?
Yeah.
He'd have to have... Well, if he got 120 yards, couple of TDs, yeah, he could stand out.
Yeah.
He could stand out.
Mm. Yeah, for me, high-scoring game, I think, particularly for Super Bowl standards. So both teams to score two touchdown and two field goals.
I like that. Because that also takes into account overtime. So you could get a situation where it probably wouldn't matter all that much. But if it's a high-scoring game.
Again, great like bet to cheer.
The field goals are your worry. You should get the touchdowns, shouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I would think both defenses are good enough to get a couple of stops to force the field goal.
Mm. Yeah.
Particularly, halftime's always a good one for a field goal because the team is quickly, they're just scrambling upfield, but they've only got time to kick a field goal. Anyway, enjoy the game. We have spoken for way too long. next week or the week after, we start our season previews. Here we would have kicked off with the trials. The trials start, by the way, February 12.
Mm.
So what are we, February 3? 9 days away from the first bit of footy. I think it's St George Cronulla, but they're all kids playing in the first game. But we're going to have some footy to talk about by the time we are on with Get 'Em Onside. Thank you, Sean Ormerod.
Thanks, boys.
Well done, Dan.
Thank you, Shorty. And please, as
most
always,
importantly, folks, gamble responsibly. Look at those deposit limits. That's the way to go.